Praise the Lord. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah was the prophet, of course, here in the book of Jeremiah, speaking to Israel, or Judah in particular, and prophesied, actually six times in, actually six different sermons from Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah were sermons of warning to Jerusalem and to Judah, warning them that they should repent, they should return to God, they should turn from their idols, and they should return unto the God of their fathers. They refused every time. They would not give any attention to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. They refused to repent. They refused to return to God. And so he began to warn them. And several times in the book of Jeremiah, he warned them that there would be an evil from the north that would come, that would bring great destruction upon them. That's in chapter 4. Also in chapter 6, evil that appeareth out of the north and great destruction. You'll see that theme in several verses in the messages of Jeremiah to the children of Israel. He warned them of an invasion that was going to come and destruction that was going to come, but they refused to pay attention. They refused to listen and to give heed to the warnings that he gave. At first, Jerusalem was just under siege by Babylon. And that just means that they would surround the city and they demanded tribute money from them. And that went on for maybe 3 years, something like that. And then in the fourth year, they came and literally attacked the city. And they took just over 3,000 of their most select young people. And Daniel was one of the ones that was taken away. It was the best and the brightest. It was their young, they're educated, they're skilled and trained young people that they took away, just over 3,000 of them. And then just a few years later, I think it was 6 or 7 years later, they came back, this time just almost annihilating the city. And it took 10,000 more people with them that time. And then the last time they came, they flattened the city. They burnt the temple. They literally destroyed it. Very few survived it. And it had been, they had been warned about this terrible destruction that was going to come. So something like 13 or 14,000 people traveled that long distance, probably 600 or 700 miles, to Babylon, which that region is the area now known as Iraq. And all those many miles in that dry desert terrain, no doubt some didn't survive it, but they ended up in the city there of Babylon. They traveled all of that distance, and when they got to Babylon, they entered into a world that they had never, ever seen before. It was such a strange and a peculiar place for them. Because remember, when they were in Jerusalem, the temple was in the center. Not only physically was it in the center of the city, but it was literally the center of their life. Worshiping God, serving God, the one true God, Jehovah, was the center of their life. They served Jehovah God, the one and the true God. When they get to Babylon, then there are many gods. Most of their gods have to do with terrible sensual and sexual sins, all kinds of immorality that was involved in their worship. And it was a life that was so contrary to what they knew of just self-gratification and pleasure. And that was the strange country that they had been stolen away to live in. And you know, in a sense, you and I are like that. The Bible says in Hebrews that we are strangers and we're pilgrims in this world. It says we are to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Remember the old song we used to sing? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And that's the circumstance that the people of God were in down in Babylon. Well, Jeremiah, who had prophesied and warned them, somehow survived all of those attacks against Jerusalem. By the hand of God, he survived. Most believe that he escaped to Egypt and lived out the rest of his life in Egypt. But before he left Jerusalem, he penned these words in chapter 29. This is the message that was sent to those that were living down there in Babylon to tell them how to live there. I was going to say how to survive it, but no, how to thrive in that place. Not just survive it, but how to thrive in a pagan society and a pagan world. So that's what chapter 29 is about. Let's read this here. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives. And to all the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah, and Jerusalem, and the carpenters, and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons, and daughters, and take wives from your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall ask me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The instruction from Jeremiah to them was how you can live in Babylon, how you can live in that place and not just barely make it, not just survive it, but literally thrive in such a pagan world. I believe it's a message that was sent to them, and it's a message for us here in this particular age that you and I are living in as well. Amen. I really do believe that. So there's five things that I want to point out to you this morning from this text that I believe were instructions that were given to those who were sent and taken, carried away down to Babylon, And there are instructions for us today, how we can live in this present world. How we can live in a world where if you stand up and preach that Jesus is the only way, then you're going to come under fire. You're going to be criticized if you just simply preach Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. There'll be those that will rise up against you if you make that declaration. You don't have to go very far back in the history of our country. I know that everybody, even all the founding fathers, were not necessarily Christians, but they all were very conscious of God and had a great deal of respect and honor for the scriptures. And whether they were actual believers or not, some of them probably were not. But they all, and there seemed to be, that was the general spirit and attitude that prevailed in this country until just maybe 50 years ago. And then things began to change in our nation. And so we've gotten to the place now in America that if you just preach what the Bible says about Jesus Christ being the only way to the Father, you'll find yourself under fire. If you preach what the Bible has to say about marriage, how the Bible defines marriage, what it is, then you're going to come under the heat of opposition. Most of the positions of God's word that are so important that this nation was built upon, you'll come under fire if you stand strong for the truth of God's word. But we know that now today we're living in a Babylon-like world. It's very much like that. In a world where wrong and evil is celebrated and righteousness and right and holiness is ridiculed and made fun of and completely rejected. We're living in Babylon, and I believe that God by his grace can help us to be what he wants us to be in this time. I believe he's called us for this time. I believe we're alive right now because God has given to us the capacity to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. But I want you to notice the instruction that he gave to them down there in that strange foreign country. This is what he told them to do. The first thing was strengthen your home. Strengthen your family. Verse 5. Build ye houses, dwell in them. You see, there were false prophets that were saying to them, this is just a temporary thing. You can just live in your little tents and your temporary houses. But now the prophet is saying, no, you're going to be here 70 years. You need to put some roots down. And you need to build a haven for your family. You need to build a place. Since there's no temple, then there's no way to actually carry on the worship like you have before. Your home is going to have to be your safe haven. Your home is going to have to be that place. So he says, build your house. Put some roots down. Grow your family. The father was to be the spiritual leader. And he was to maintain the spiritual teaching of God's word in the family. The home has to be a place. And there had to be a united effort between mom and dad to counter all the things that were going on around them. They lived in Babylon. From all we can understand, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't so severe that he didn't allow them to carry on their business, to carry on their lives. They weren't in a prison. They had quite a bit of freedoms to live their life. And so they were out there, no doubt, interacting with the Babylonian people who were pagan, who knew nothing about God, knew nothing about the law of God. And yet, here they are in this place, down in Babylon, a godless place. And somehow, they have got to provide a way where their family, and they can maintain their commitment to God and their love for God. It was going to have to be done in the home. So he says, build your houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take wives, beget sons, multiply your family, because there's going to have to be a generation, because those that were 30 years old were going to be old when it came time for them to go back. There's a good chance they wouldn't be strong enough to even go back. It was going to have to be the children and the grandchildren They were the ones that were going to have to be the ones that returned after 70 years. And so you're going to have to make sure that you instill in their hearts the law of God. You're going to have to make sure you protect them from all the things that are around them and build them up in strength and character and the knowledge of the Lord so that they will be able to be what they need to be. Amen. You see, the church is really only as strong as its individual families. If we're failing at home, then we're failing as a church. Amen. We're failing. God have mercy. God help us in our households and our families to take this to heart and realize that instilling the things of God in the hearts of our sons and daughters is the most important endeavor you will ever have. Sad to say, most of our children and grandchildren can quote all the Disney songs and Disney movies. They know all the sports figures. They spend their time with their eyes glued to the devices. They know pretty much the ways of Babylon. It's pretty well in their minds. It's pretty well in their hearts. Amen. I hope you love me when this is over with. Amen. They had to make some intentional, conscious decisions about their families. He said, live in your homes. Create a family. Create a home and a place where your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren, where everything, where the fathers can come together and they can train them, they can teach them and help them to learn the ways of the Lord. If not, it's going to be lost in Babylon. There'll be no one to go back at the end of the 70 years. So we have to, on purpose, instill. Let me just tell you this. Most of you know this, but there's a lot of things. I know that, you know, we can, you know, I don't mean to pound on things like, you know, these electronic devices, because I do know there's a lot of good there too. You can use them for some good. There's some wonderful things that you can do that will help you. You can use those things even to promote the things of God, to promote the Word of God, to instill the Word of God in them. Since they already have an attachment to it, then you can make sure that they're being trained and they can learn some things from some of these things that seem, you know, that they have such an attraction to. Amen. So make an intentional and a conscious effort to put the Word of God into their lives and do what you have to do to build a home, a family, and a home that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he said, number two, this is in verse 7. Seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. He says, here you are in Babylon. And he said, I've put you here. I've put you here. I've caused this to happen. Sure, it was your rebellion and your refusal of the judgment of, or the warnings from Jeremiah and other prophets. But I'm the one that has caused you to be here. I've put you here for a purpose. You understand that God has placed us where we are right now for a purpose. You're living in London and Lowell County for the most part here. Maybe some not, but for the most part. And you are here. And God has positioned us here. And we need to do what the scripture says. Seek the peace of the city. The word there is the word shalom, which we always associate with the word that shalom means peace. But it means it's a little bit bigger of a word than just peace. Shalom means favor. It means blessing. It means goodwill or the welfare of the people, that things would go well with them. Seek to make your influence. And really, I think that we should understand that God has put us where we are in London, Lowell County, and maybe even expanding, you know, the region a little bit here for some of you who live out, you know, maybe a little further out from London, Lowell County. Understand that, but understand that God has positioned you where you are, and we are not to isolate ourselves just because we're to have our household and our families and yes, but at the same time, we can't isolate ourselves. We have to seek the peace or the welfare of the city. We have to participate and involve ourselves in things to strengthen the city. Amen. Whenever, you know, people rise up to do things in the community that, you oppose. We don't always have to be on the side saying, no, I'm against that. No, I don't want that. You can be the person that's instigating some things that will bless the city, that would bless the community, and that God could use you to do just that. Involvement. Don't isolate yourself. Get involved and seek the direction for the community. Get involved in what's going on. God has placed us here in this city, in this county for a reason, and that is to make an impact. Seek the peace of the city. That's number two. Seek the peace of the city. Seek the welfare of the city. Involve yourself in ways. Some of you need to run for city council. Amen. Somebody sighed when I said that. Amen. Some of you need to get involved in what's going on in this community. Step up and get involved. Brother Roy's a magistrate and involves himself, and I know that wherever he goes, he honors the Lord and represents Jesus Christ. I know him. I know that's exactly what he does. And I know this much, that God wants you and I to step up and represent Jesus Christ in our city and in our community. That's what he told them to do in Babylon. You mean seek the welfare of the Babylonians? They're the ones that came in and killed my family. They destroyed my city and my temple and my family, and they've just brought nothing but destruction. Wherever God has positioned you, wherever he's put you, that's the place that you need to be used of God. Amen. Amen. I believe that the city of London and Laurel County ought to be a better place because you live here. And because this church is here, we ought to be light and we ought to be salt and we ought to be influencing for a righteous cause and for righteousness' sake. Amen. Seeking the peace of the city. Number three, the last part of that verse. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in peace thereof shall ye have peace. I believe the Lord wants us to take it to heart and to truly pray for our community. I know that the enemy is doing a lot of things across this country to bring destruction to communities. I know there are major cities that crime is destroying their city. And we are moving in that direction right now in London, Laurel County. The crime rate is up. The jailer says that the jail probably has 150 inmates that have no beds. They have no room for that many inmates. The jail is full. He's even calling, and I've been in communication with him. He's calling for churches and pastors to come and to pray over the jail. What an opportunity we have to pray over that place and to pray for our community and to pray that all of the wickedness and the darkness that the enemy would break through. The drug situation is at an out of control situation right now in our community. Almost every crime, if you noticed, I think it was in Friday's paper. I don't buy the paper, but about once a month, but I happened to pick that one up Friday. In that paper, it talked about all the arrests, and you know, it was methamphetamine, it was heroin, it was all these drug labs, all this stuff that was going on that people were involved in. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for London. There needs to be an effort of every church in Laurel County to have prayer meetings and prayer times to pray for nothing more than those that are in leadership in our city government, in our county government, and to pray for the churches of this community, that God would raise up the churches and that there would be such a flood of a move of God that it'll push back the darkness to where this will not be a place to where that can thrive. Where darkness is pushed out, where evil is pushed out. You may not be personally affected by it, but you just wait a while. If it keeps going the direction it is, there will not be a family in this county that won't be affected by it. Everybody is being influenced by the horribleness of this drug epidemic. We're going to have to pray. That's the third thing. Pray for the city. Pray for the city. That's how we're going to survive in these last days. We're going to have to pray for the community that we live in. We're going to have to be a righteous, godly influence that knows how to seek the Lord and to pray and to fast on behalf of our community, to pray for this city. And I believe that that effort is going to move forward. I believe that God is going to raise up people in this community that's going to take this to heart, and that there will be many, many churches and leaders in churches who are going to be able to move into this effort, and that you're going to start hearing about prayer meetings in church after church after church, prayer meetings for the city and for the county, that God would do something, that God would push back the darkness, and that a real revival of righteousness and purity would come sweeping into our community. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants to raise up some folks who will take this to heart and to pray. He said, pray for the city. Pray for it. And he says, for in peace thereof shall ye have peace. Remember, the word shalom means more than just a peaceful feeling. It means goodwill. It means welfare, or the good, the favor that comes our way. When you see the favor of God coming into the community, you're going to reap the benefit of that. You're going to be affected by that. We're all going to be affected by the fact that God is working and moving. It's going to be a better place to live. Amen. It'll be a better place to live whenever God is given a chance to move. I'm telling you, it's a pretty serious thing. I wouldn't want to be sitting in the seats of some of the city council people who brought liquor into our community. I wouldn't want that on me. I wouldn't want that. Too much destruction, too much heartache, too much that's coming in our community as a result of that. All the revenue, all the money, all the restaurants, all the nice things that'll be coming in. Let me tell you, the better things that'll come our way will come whenever there is a reign of righteousness in this community. Amen. Then we'll see favor. Then we'll see the blessing of God. We'll see God pouring out his spirit, and he will bless this community in a way that we cannot imagine if we will pray for our community and seek the peace of this community. Amen. Praise God. Another thing, it's in verse 8 and 9, where he says, I'm paraphrasing here, don't listen to the prophets. Don't listen to these false prophets. Don't listen to these, don't pay attention to these dreams, to these differences of opinion. Don't listen to false teaching and false doctrine. And the only way to counter the false is to just immerse yourself in the truth. Amen. Strengthen yourself in the truth. Amen. That's the only thing that will counter the false ideas and the false philosophy. I am just amazed at the false doctrine that is seeping in to churches. Incredible, incredible things that are coming in, bad doctrine, things that are nowhere near the Word of God. Just men's ideas, men's ways, and them thinking that this is right. But the warning is here. Don't pay attention to this deception of these false teachers or these doctrines of devils. Don't pay attention to these things. These things characterize the last days that you and I are living in. False teachers, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, all kinds of teaching and philosophy that is not of God. How do we know that we are followers of the truth? We have to be in the Word of God, constantly studying it, reading it, taking advantage of, you know, Sunday school and church services where the Word of God is being taught and preached, so we can be exposed to the Word of the Lord, so that we can know what is right. Only is what the Word of God says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets, your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And apparently, one of the things they were prophesying about was, oh, this is just going to be a short little time that we're down here in Babylon. Don't worry about this. Just going to be a little blip on your screen. No problem. Just a little while we'll be here, and then we'll be back home. Because he says, verse 10, thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Don't pay attention to the false doctrines and the false... If it don't sound right, it's probably not right. If it doesn't ring true in your spirit, it's probably not right. If it's some new thing that really amazes you, make sure you check it closely by the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's number four. Number five is live out these days in hope. Now, I've always believed that I would see the rapture of the church. But I'm getting older now, so I might not. I don't know. I don't know what is ahead. And I don't know, no one knows when the Lord is going to come. But I do know this, that it's the will of God that all the days of my life to live in the hope and the expectancy of his coming. And to live in that kind of a hope, whether 40 or 50 or 80 or whatever your age is, live out the days of your life in hope. And that's what he told them to do. Live in hope. Amen. Verse 11, which is the most quoted verse from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts. Another word that sometimes translated plans. I know the thoughts or the plans that I have, that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace or goodwill, good things. Not of evil. To give you an expected end. To give you hope. And a future to help you to see that I care and I'm at work in your life no matter what that you're experiencing. Live out the days of your life in hope. Amen. One of the things that so difficult for the world to comprehend is how that there can be so many people, even Christian people, going through hard times, challenging times, but we still have hope. We still have a smile. We still have faith in God. Yeah, we're not shaken by the troubles or the trials that come our way because we have got a hold of hope. And that hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Live out the days of your life in hope. Five good words of instruction from Jeremiah to those that are living in Babylon and that are good for us as well in these last days. Live your life with an expectancy and a hope. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Praise God. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away. Now, if you're reading this message or you're hearing the message of Jeremiah and you're 60 years old, then you know I'm never going back home. I know I'm never going back. The thing that would motivate them, though, was the fact that their sons and their daughters and their families and their grandchildren, I'm going to die in Babylon, but I'm going to live out the days of my life. I am going to live out these days making an impact for God. I'm going to instill these truths in the hearts of my children. I'm going to make sure they know God. I'm going to make sure they know the law of God. I'm not going to allow anything. I'm going to do my best to make an impact in my city, in my community, where God has put me. I'm going to live out these days and do my best to pray for the community and seek the peace of the community. I'm going to stay in the Word of God. I'm going to know it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to obey it. So that I'll not be deceived or my family won't be deceived by false teachers. And I'm going to live in hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How to live in Babylon. God can help us in these last days. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you care about your people. And I know, Lord, that you're raising up a generation right here in this community, Lord, that cares about the things of God, that cares about truth and righteousness. And Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that families would be established in truth. I pray, Lord, that the church would be, Lord, the influence, the salt and the light that you've called us to be in our community, seeking the welfare of the city, praying for the city. Oh, God, use us to make an impact, I pray, upon the city of London and Laurel County. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you care, Lord, about us. And Lord, you've got a plan for us. And Lord, that plan can be fulfilled as we put our trust in you. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.